Meetings are being held across the province on how urban Indigenous people could be represented. The Coalition of Aboriginal Peoples of Saskatchewan is conducting outreach and engagement sessions focused on self-government and self-determination. Coalition President John Hannikin says the discussions need to take place.
We have to look at those and look at proper models of governance and what we want to do in the urban centers to make it a better place for Indigenous people, because this is where the big issues are, is with a lot of our problems.
The Coalition of Aboriginal Peoples of Saskatchewan will be holding its Regina event at the Indigenous Christian Fellowship on January 11th. It's been a year since Premier Scott Moe apologized to the province's 60 Scoop survivors. A 60 Scoop Indigenous Society of Saskatchewan board member says progress on raising awareness to the issue and helping survivors find relevant documents to file a compensation claim needs to improve. Melissa Parkin says some survivors are struggling to apply without proper documentation.
I feel like the government has made it hard for us to still claim who we are, because it costs money to apply or to get your, like, even like the ones that passed on and the families that want to claim for them, to get their estate executive, I mean, their records.
Parkin says the history of the 60s Scoop should be taught in schools as one way of raising public awareness. Prince Albert police are looking to the public for information on a missing 16-year-old boy. Christopher Dominic Bird has brown eyes and brown hair. Police say Bird has ties to Montreal Lake and Prince Albert. Anyone with information on his whereabouts is asked to contact Prince Albert police or Crime Stoppers. The Library of Parliament has removed two poems from the Parliamentary Poet Laureate website. They were written by Stephen Brown, the convicted killer of an Indigenous woman from Regina. The poems included one about a sex worker. That prompted Manitoba MLA Nahani Fontaine to say they showed disrespect toward his victim and other missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. Brown was convicted of manslaughter in the 1995 beating death of Pamela George. Dr. Nadine Karen has been named the inaugural First Nations Health Authority Chair in Cancer and Wellness at the University of British Columbia. Karen was the senior author on a 2017 study that found First Nations people in BC are less likely to survive a cancer diagnose than their non-Indigenous counterparts. Karen says she wants to keep filling the gap in research on Indigenous health.
I've also then subsequently come up with questions through my clinical career to date that don't have answers. I search the medical literature and no one's asked that question. And if they have, they haven't actually followed through to do the research. There's a tremendous gap in research for Indigenous peoples in Canada.
Karen says she plans to take a holistic approach that acknowledges how colonization, racism, marginalization, and poverty have led to the current situation. A United Nations anti-racism committee is urging Canada to stop construction on three major projects in BC. The Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination says Canada must suspend the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion. It also says the Site C Dam and Coastal Link Pipeline should be halted until approved by affected Indigenous people. The committee says the projects don't have the free, prior, and informed consent of all affected Indigenous groups. Meanwhile, Coastal GasLink says work on its pipeline in northern BC will continue this week, despite an eviction notice from a First Nation. Wet'suwet'en First Nation hereditary chiefs issued the eviction notice on Saturday. They advised the company that its staff and contractors were trespassing on its traditional territory. The company says it's holding refresher meetings for construction crews and plans to resume construction possibly this week. Statistics Canada says the country's merchandise trade deficit narrowed to $1.1 billion in November as imports fell faster than exports.
Statistics Canada says the widespread declines in export and import products coincided with disruptions in Canadian rail transportation. Canadian National Railway was hit by a strike in November that halted shipments, triggered layoffs, and disrupted industries across the country. Exports fell 1.4% in November to $48.7 billion, while imports dropped 2.4% to $49.8 billion for the month. Canada's trade deficit with the world for goods and services combined was $2.6 billion in November. Emily Dravesky, The Canadian Press.
The Canadian military is temporarily relocating some soldiers from Iraq to Kuwait. Chief of the Defense Staff, General Jonathan Vance, announced the move in a letter to the families of Canadian soldiers in Iraq and the surrounding region. That letter was posted to Twitter. There are fears of Iranian reprisals for a U.S. drone strike. Iraq's parliament has called for the forced withdrawal of all Western troops from the country. And Ottawa's bills for dealing with natural disasters have been steadily rising and neared $500 million in two of the last 3 years.
Data from Public Safety Canada shows the average bill for financial disaster assistance was $430 million annually over the last 3 years. In the previous 5 years, average annual disaster cleanup bills were $360 million, which was three times the average cost in the 5 years before that. The federal program helps provinces when the costs of major events like floods and forest fires exceed a predetermined amount based on a province's population. Government records show disaster funds were approved for 40 severe weather-related disasters between April 2016 and the end of March last year. Terry Pedwell, The Canadian Press, Ottawa.